Kept you waiting, huh? Good morning, afternoon, or indeed good bloody well evening to episode 116 of the UK's number one gaming podcast. This is The Crosscast, and we are part of The Cross Players, a team of mates dedicated to bringing you all of our educated opinions on the incredible games we play. We also talk about the consoles we love and also the new universe of news surrounding all of them. My chair is extremely squeaky. I need to stop rotating around in that. To get things started, it is not my chair, that's the guest. It is Ben, Lewis, and Alex. Hello, chaps.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Do the accent. Come on, you need to.
Ah? No, that was a squeaky, that was a chair. It was a squeaky chair, not a Liverpool accent.
Yeah. It was a squeaky chair from Liverpool.
I thought.
From Liverpool.
I thought. Yeah. I'm the host, Dan. We've got a jam-packed show for you today. We're going to be talking all about the showcases that have been riddling our lives the last couple of days. There's been how many of them, Alex? I'm going to you. Six, five, six, seven, nine, 12?
Lots.
Alex. Alex said it. You heard it here first. There were lots. If you'd like to support us, give this podcast a review on the service you're using. Give us a like and subscribe in youtube.com/crossplayers. Or head over to thecrossplayers.com for links to all of our content and our Discord. Chaps, should we start with our little idea, which we're going to talk about? So we picked, how many games did we agree on before? It's very, very warm in this conservatory, so you need to help me. But we picked three games, I think, that we saw on each of the different showcases, or around the different showcases, and we want to talk about them a little bit.
Yeah, I think we're just going to go around the table, pick a game each, talk about it for a bit, and then once Lewis runs out, then we'll carry on going amongst the rest of us.
Yep. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it until we fall over. Ben, do you want to go first?
Yeah.
It caught your eye, mate.
I cast your mind back to Big Jeff's Summer Game Fest, his kind of opening night. And I got to say, Jeff was in his bag. I thought he'd finally nailed it. I mean, it was a bit... Some of it was cheesy, some of it was cringy. But I think that's the best showing that he's had so far. So, well done, Jeff. I know you're a big fan of the show. But my highlight of that one... Clicks for Jeff. He takes a lot of shit, doesn't he? But, you know, right. And he's got to pay the bills. Let him off having some bad boats. My highlight from that one, though, was Alan Wake 2. I thought that looked fan-bloody-tastic. And I mean that wholeheartedly. I'm not being sarcastic, Lewis. But I thought it looked really good. Looked like, you know, gameplay-wise, graphically, just as good as Resident Evil 4. And I can't wait to play it. Yeah, it looked extremely cool.
Very good. Do you think, what's seen that? Did you play the first one?
No. Never.
On that remastered version. Get yourself ready.
Yeah, does it play like that? Does it kind of have that? Because I like that sort of over the shoulder third person perspective.
It's a difficult question to answer. Does it play like an unreleased game? I'm not sure.
You know what I mean, though. Has it got that same?
Yeah, it's over the shoulder. It's much like Control.
Answer the question, Lewis. Answer the question, mate.
Stop stalling with that.
Just fucking do it.
Yeah, it's over, like, over the shoulder job. Yeah.
Maybe anyway. It's always very cheap, isn't it? That remake one. So. Yeah, maybe I'll give it a go. But yeah, and I love the sort of the leaves just floating about looked really good. And then the bit of the old deer geyser coming out of the wall. Brilliant. Now it sounds like I'm being sarcastic.
With his perfectly made sleeping bag.
Exactly. Very neat. Very neat, weird monster.
I like the idea that he got in there with a sleeping bag through the door, but just decided to burst through the wall just to keep pressure terrorists. That was just...
I like to think he built the wall while he was in there. He's just like, all right, I'm going to stay here. The world can't affect me.
Mm.
Keep my nice, neat sleeping bag.
It's a damn handy making a...
Yeah.
Damn handy making a partition wall.
Mr. Thomas on crack.
That's my topic. Cool.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I'm hoping that your fondness for Control, Ben, will extend over Alan Wake 2. But yeah, jump into Alan Wake because I think you'd be quite surprised by it. And what I played of the remaster, it was quite nice. Good game. Lewis, what are you drinking?
Well written. It is. It's whiskey. It's Ardbeg whiskey from Ireland. This name I forget. It's called Wee Beastie. It's a slightly. It's only matured for 5 years. This one, so it's quite strong, quite peaty.
Only matured.
Normally, it needs to be. I think there's a certain age. I think it needs to go over 8. I don't know. I think I make a start.
Good job, Mark isn't on this episode.
Curious when it hit one because of your pronunciation of some of those things, and two, the thing that we all know. So let's not talk about that because we've been shadow banned enough. Lewis, what? Pick, are you going to go with what jumped out at you over the different showcases?
All right, well, Ben mentioned Alan Wake 2, which is a good pick for me. Been looking forward to it for a little while, not as long as some, but yeah, a good little while. But Mortal Kombat 1, I'm a Mortal Kombat kind of guy, always going to try and play them when they come out, or at least a little while afterwards, and I think they've done enough. I'm kind of curious to know what they've done exactly in terms of going back to the start and the characters that are available, what's been done, because of way back to the start for them all, is it? I'm not sure. I don't know. Not sure. Mortal Kombat 1.
That's look good. That cameo fighter thing looks cool. Quite like the sound of like picking a secondary character, and then I think we've got a meter that you. Once it fills up, you can summon that character and do a kind of Smash Brothers style, like up, down, A.
Hey, glad you mentioned that there. Because I forgot all about that. And I could read it here, and it says these assist characters are called cameo fighters, but cameo being Mortal Kombat spelled with a K. But it just made me think of Cameo, the rare game from the Xbox. Was it Xbox or 360?
Xbox 360 launch title,
yeah. That's all I could think of. I was like, fuck, cameo fighters? What are you talking about? But yeah, like the little... I would have thought it would be more like Street Fighter versus Capcom. I don't know if it happens in Street Fighter versus Capcom, but it makes me think of that. Can you tell I can barely remember? It's going to continue.
Literally. It's a fighting game. I think it's a bit of a wider conversation about this, but do we think it's going to be a good year for fighting games? Then obviously Street Fighters... Wiping the floor with people. People are really enjoying it. Wiping the floor. Mortal Kombat and isn't Tekken on the way as well? I know that's this year. But yeah,
is it? I think it's been dated yet.
It's already a good year. I mean, just with Street Fighter alone. I mean, the promise of Mortal Kombat 1. Fantastic.
I need to get that.
You do.
More on that later. Yeah, more on that later. Ben, is that a Street Fighter talk?
It is. Rapid.
Let's have a look at it.
Rapping the streets. Oh,
gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous, mate. While you're there, what are you drinking?
Oh, just squash. Just
boring. We haven't
got any beer.
Cool. It's okay. Great hair, Alex. Just thought I'd comment on that. Look fantastic. Absolute gorgeous. Look at that haircut.
Thank you, Dan.
Show the side. Show the fade off. Look at that. Look at that. No. Cut myself there.
A whole £10 that cost me. £10.
Right. Oh my god. What do you have?
A Scouse barber.
Really? Yeah. Did you mention you know Scousers or you,
No, like, I'm not that. Yes, and it's just like someone when you say like you're gay and then everyone says like, do you know such and such? Not everyone knows of them.
I love how you somehow made me a homophobe out of all this. But it's fine, it's okay. No, it's okay. Don't worry, I'm used to being fucking thrown under the bus, so it's okay. You've got a shit shirt on. Tell me what you're drinking first. Is it water?
It is indeed water. Much, 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 much water. Lots and lots of water.
So, you and Tyler Baby recorded, didn't you? And you've covered off, I think, some of the Xbox Showcase, the first one?
No, not yet. We are planning to, but we haven't done it yet. And we haven't done it.
Okay, I stand corrected. Absolutely fine. Apologies. That will happen. So, talk to me. You've got number of different picks, I think, because we were frantically messaging in the Discord, crossplayers.com/Discord, over the games that are being shown. I'm presuming yours is going to be Xbox related.
I mean, I would pick the whole Xbox showcase. Like, there's not much out there I wouldn't pick. Like, it was so good. I think it has to be Starfield, though. Like, it has to be Starfield. Like, Starfield shone. Absolutely shone. I mean, I thought it was a bit of a dick move to not announce it 30 frames during the showcase and wait till the interview afterwards. But
yeah, it's a bit strange.
I can almost forgive it because I think we all knew it was going to be 30 frames. I think they knew they were going to go for fidelity. I think I'd rather it was locked at 30 frames and was Bethesda bugged all over it. So if they could lock it at 30 frames, I'd probably be quite happy.
It'd be a weird thing to put in a showcase as well. I know, like, Phil, when he did the kind of funny interview, was like, we will make it clear what the frame rate is. It would be odd, like, and they don't do that for any other game. It'd be odd if only available in 30 frames per second came up on the screen. It'd be like,
it's the thing of, like, I get it, getting that game and that engine to run at 60 can't be easy, because I think I don't know if it's a brand new engine, but presumably it's still got some of the innards of what happened with Fallout 4 and some of the recent Elder Scrolls games. So it's an older engine, but they'll get that 60. But that'll happen within 6 months of that game releasing, and it'll be, nobody will care. They're not going to jump back in and go 60 frames per second. People are going to play that game, I think, on the merit of the actual showcase, because it flipped from being something really, and I use this word a lot, and it probably should have been on list for the stag do, but really sterile, and it's gone from being quite dull in my eyes and a little bit kind of No Man's Sky to something completely different, where it is more Fallout in space. I don't know, what were your thoughts on?
I just thought the depth of it blew me away. Like, so much to it. Like, as they showed mode after mode after mode, and you're just like, how the fuck have you built a game this big? Like, and it, obviously, we've not got our hands on the game. We don't know exactly how much depth there's going to be to each bit they showed. But there certainly seemed to be an incredible amount of depth there. And, like, even as, like, when you showed you to the center, I didn't expect anywhere near as much, like, the space combat, when they showed you the space combat and the ships. Yeah. And they were talking about a lot of the kind of morality stuff and all the decision-making and things like that, and even the depths of that. And then some of the more, like, kind of soft modes. Was it, like, a family mode or something, than a home mode, where you were coming?
Well, it was, like, one of the, like, attributes you could choose for yourself at the start. So when you're building your character, you can say, right, well, these are their attributes, and one of them was, like, you're a family person or something, so you have to pay money to your parents and go and visit them everywhere. So it's like,
just
not picking that.
I mean, the scale is incredible, and even the way they thought, like, in terms of when you saw some of the vistas and some of the moments, and, like, if that game looks like that, it's going to just look so incredible. And
that was like, that is the point where I flipped on Starfield, from not caring about it at all to this, like, and now I get it, like, and it was that exact point where he was like, I think it was maybe Todd Howard, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he was doing his bit at the beginning, and he was like,
you see that that background there, that moon in the background? Isn't that a background? You can go there.
And that was like, I get it. Like, now I'm in. That's incredible. Like, because just seeing it in the background, you're like, okay, cool. Oh no, that's actually somewhere you can go. And I'm very excited about it now.
Glad to hear Eric Cartman grew up and became something.
Eric Cartman with a nasally cough.
But I think almost the biggest compliment you can pay to it is, like, they showed 45 minutes of this game. There was, like, a 45 minute show of this game at the end. And you were sitting at the end of 45 minutes, well, show me more. Like, show me more. Like, keep showing me it. Like, I want to see. And it wasn't as if they spent too long in any element of that 45 minutes either. It was like, it was even to show you the combat, and you were like fizzing about in your back propeller pack thing, like, and it just looked fun. And I also liked the way it was really open to the combat. It was a bit like, you build your combat how we want to play him, like, because I'm shit with guns, like, I'm absolutely terrible games with guns, like, but you can just go and punch him, like, that's fine by me. I build up my melee, I'll choose to do it that way, like, just so many options to make this game whatever you want it to be. And I think it's going to be one of those games about, like, Skyrim, like, you're talking about, oh, the 60 frames will be there in 6 months, so people will be playing this in 6 years. I think it's got that kind of depth to it.
So, I only watched a little bit of that. I watched the start of the Starfield presentation. The time has been short, so I've only managed to catch that little bit, and then I didn't turn it off. So, I missed about customization. Can you customize your ship? Can you create your own ship?
Well, you can do every single bit of it, like every little.
Make it look like a platypus.
So, so it doesn't need to be like the one that was in the presentation.
No.
Day one. Some Game Pass, but day one.
Yeah.
I was like, that's one thing when I was watching, I was like, I really want to be able to create my own ship. That's the bit that I find interesting. The bit where you're going to sort of spend time. Because I'm going to be bouncing about in my spaceship most, I think.
But it wasn't even like you just create your own ship, it's like create whatever kind of type of ship you want. So if you want it to go fast, you like customize the engine, you can customize the size to hold more people. You're like, I think there was about 50 different parts of the ship that you could change just on the makeup of the ship before you actually changed any of the cosmetics on it and stuff. Like, the depth was mind-blowing.
Yeah, and wasn't it when you're in flight, you can like adjust the power so that, and you know how they do in these sci-fi movies where you can like put all the power into the thrusters or all the power into the shields or the cannons or whatever, and you can balance out all these meters depending on what you're into. Like, it just seems insanely deep, but I think, like, on several previous podcasts, I've just gone, said that I don't really understand where the fun is in it, but they really show that. There's so many different things you can do, and you can just get into all kinds of mischief. And
I thought the story element was the part that gripped me, because what was the name of the group, Alex? I can't forget what they were called.
Constellation.
Constellation. So then that group are basically this, like, elite, almost like, panel member, secret society of there was like a entrepreneurial person in there who funds it all. There was someone that used to be part of the security forces. It was just a bit of a like a rag. There was a cowboy, which was just fucking random. But it was just like a list of different characters where they're all there to try and find out the mysteries of the universe. And I think that's the type of thing that when I went, all right, I really love No Man's Sky. What's this doing differently? The last trailer didn't really give me anything other than go, this is like a first version of No Man's Sky. It's probably going to take a couple of months to get better. Whereas with this, immediately it showed me a bit of story, which No Man's Sky was severely lacking in my eyes. So I'm looking at it going, I get to now have purpose in trying to figure out what's happening in all those different planets, those different solar systems. And yeah, that's the thing that really gripped me. And I thought, right, now it feels like a Bethesda game. Add into it all the mechanics you were mentioning. They're the ones that was more interested to see. So like the morality side of things, what you can do in terms of character build and the way that you said, you know, you can build melee up if you want to, or even be more proficient, or even the fact there's something similar to the Pip-Boy, you know, that you wear in the watch. And it's got that functionality of, you have got VATS in this, I think, as well, haven't you? Or there's something similar to it. Remember seeing that? I can't remember. But yeah, just the comfort in it being a Bethesda game shone, I think, in the showcase rather than previously where it felt just a bit boring. Yeah. So, very exciting though.
Yeah, but you mentioned No Man's Sky there. That is probably an obstacle for a lot of people, because I watch that and they go, you can mine resources. And it's like, and it's just like the, as they're sort of going away at the rock, and it's like, oh, God, it's No Man's Sky. Like, yeah, it's a game I played at launch and enjoyed for a period. And it was like, there's nothing to this game. It's just this over and over again. So that is in the back of my head. So, like, not that I've got work to win me round, but, like, on the basis of what other stuff that you've seen, there's more there to sort of grab you and bring you in other than mining, which was just, I just can't not see No Man's Sky when I see Starfield just now.
Yeah. Mm. It's a couple of bumper packed months around Starfield as well, which are quite interesting. So it'll be interesting to see where it lands in the game of the year conversations. Will it be this year's, or will it apply for next?
Yes. Yeah, this year, because it's September.
Could be, it could be Coming for Zelda, I think.
Ooh. Could be, potentially. Okay, so I'll give you one of my picks. I was going to say Starfield as well. I think we've spoken about that at length. I really like the look of Clockworld Revolution. So yeah. That was the kind of Bioshocky number where it's steampunk. I don't even want you to feel like Victorian era kind of aesthetic. It's In Exile, I think the guys that did Bard's Tale. That's right, isn't it? So they're Microsoft Studio as well. So it's completely exclusive. It looked absolutely gorgeous. I don't know what you guys thought of it.
I thought it looked really, really interesting. I thought, I think people expected it to be Obsidian that came out and probably Avowed, and I think Avowed probably was the one that maybe undersold itself. I think that was when people more cold on than expected. It wasn't the wow that they expected, whereas I think Clockwork Revolution was, that was an exile of gone and said, right, we are a first-party studio now, and this is us with first-party resources, and this is what we're going to do here. And I think it did really shine. It looked really interesting in terms of that whole time-changing mechanic and kind of seeing the environments change as you were going back in time and forward in time. And I really thought that looks cool. I can't see it being before 2025 at the earliest, which is probably the kind of downside of it. But I mean, I think there's a steady... So now you can see that steady path of first party titles finally there, which is great. I agree. I think that was really strong and one of the highlights.
Definitely feels to holding on to a few. Go on, Lewis.
So then this is one that I missed altogether. So I've done a quick Google. That's what the kids do these days. They Google things, right? I don't know. Google it.
Ask Jeeves.
The first hit was an article on IGN. Microsoft responds to Clockwork Revolution Bioshock Infinite similarity. So I'll click on this. And they're probably completely different, but the screenshots that they've taken in terms of between Clockwork Revolution feels like a mouthful. Clockwork Revolution versus Bioshock Infinite. They're really, really similar. But it's like fair enough, they're probably completely different games, but it's interesting that comparison's been picked up like almost instantly. But yeah, it looks pretty cool from the screenshots.
Yeah, it's almost like immediate, and even then I'd say it's got like Dishonored 2 vibes. Is it the Clockwork Mansion where you get to shift the mansion around that level? That's a phenomenal piece of level design. It's an amazing game to play, but the aesthetic, the trope of like being able to reverse time and like mess around with time, it felt very similar to that, of like you can then distort how the rooms are kind of shaped. But that being said, it's still something different. I still thought it's the kind of era and genre that we haven't really visited in a while. I loved what I played at Deathloop, something that I want to go back to, but this felt a little bit more, dare I say, premium. So, yeah, excited to play it.
That had to be on the Dan Lord bingo card.
Which one?
Premium.
Premium? It should be really, shouldn't it, with the insurance? Yeah. Conversation. You think so, but...
aesthetic.
Gang of balance. Ben, what was next, mate, for you?
All right, so continuing my theme of games you wouldn't necessarily expect me to pick, I thought Star Wars Rebels looked awesome.
That's not the name.
Outlaws. Outlaws, Ben.
Is it?
Yeah.
Outlaws. Yeah,
Rebels is the cartoon, which is...
Yeah,
Outlaws. It was that Ubisoft original.
Ubisoft.
It looked really good. The only thing that slightly put me off since thinking it looked good was Luke in the chat saying looks like it might play a bit like Guardians of the Galaxy, which I thought was like
Guardians of the Galaxy as
the landest game in the fucking universe.
I like this, Guardians
I think this looks really good. They seem to get that, like we often take the piss out of protagonists being quippy. The protagonist in this seemed to get the balance right. You're almost like quite endearing at the same time. And her little accomplices look quite interesting as well. It looks like it's nailing the aesthetic of Star Wars. So, it's fun. Well done. Well done, Ubisoft. Or Ubisoft. Whoever they are.
It does look good. I think it's a female Han Solo. Basically, even a clobber is like very similar, and the fact they show Han Solo and Carbonite at one point, I was like, because of the setting and where it is in the universe, it's set between Empire and Return, So that is a really interesting and I don't think often explored piece of Star Wars kind of history. So it'd be cool to see what happens there. Boba Fett's knocking around. You've got pretty much all of the bounty hunters that you see in those the original trilogy. Luke, Leia, etc., all knocking around as well. So yeah, the cameos in that game will hopefully be quite interesting. The part, so I watched some of the gameplay trailer and still couldn't kind of get to grips with how open world it is, because you go from planet to planet, but I'm presuming it's going to be like hubs in each area. Did it quantify that at all?
They did. I think they called it in the press release, they called it the first open world Star Wars game, which I don't know if that was a dig, because isn't the Jedi Survivor
open world, or is that like
more like
focus again, right? Yeah, but then Sophia was like, well, what is this one? Because if it's world by world based,
well, yeah, if it's Ubisoft, you'd expect it to maybe be one of their standard, like proper open world jobs, but
too well, wouldn't it? Like, if it's like a bright game, but Star Wars, I'm happy with that,
exactly. And the UI was gorgeous,
yes.
There's a few bits that popped up on screen, and I was like, yeah. And when they did like the screen wipe, the transition and everything, and even her haircut looked very like, you know, could have been made in the 80s. Like, just all looks, yeah, really spot on. So I'm in as a fan of the original trilogy. It's really good.
A little film aficionado now, aren't you? The only part that bugged me a little bit was she got like jumped at one point and they started to like shoot a couple of guns at her. And she like turned around and took cover, and she was like had this like wry little smile. Like I was like, you wouldn't be like that if you're getting shot at. That was the only part that really bothered me. But then, other than that, yeah, like I said, nailed the aesthetic. So be excited to see it, and more Star Wars games, the better, especially ones that are a little bit more interesting.
I've just got the trailer on that I just sort of flicked through, and that bit where she's smiling, like
I've just
seen it.
Yeah, but even then the alien that she's with is like, it always jumps up every, like almost every scene, as if you could have like an 80s rock theme in the background and this little creature just like, what's it called, Nyx or something, like crops up every single time. It's like and it's got a little stupid smile as well, as if to be like, why is everyone just smiling at each other? we're having a great time here.
Yeah, having a lovely time.
Yeah it is. Plus I think the open world that they showed to begin with is the planet where, is it Jedi, oh god, what was the second in the new trilogy? It's the Last Jedi?
Yeah,
I think it was the Last Jedi, where they go to when Babu Frick is.
Oh yeah.
And if we get Babu Frick in this game, I'll be very, very happy. I'll be happy with that. Alex, I'm going to come to you next. What was your next pick, mate?
It's probably the obvious one. So the show opener and set the tone for the whole presentation, and it was Fable. I just thought to be bold enough to start with that, and I think it was such a good move, but like that trailer really set the tone for that game. Like they've nailed it. Like it looks absolutely stunning. Like absolutely amazing. Like playground games.
Gameplay,
just
though, was it?
There was gameplay in there. There was a bit of gameplay in it. Okay. Not a lot, but there was some in it. But I think just that engine and how they've got that running looks fantastic. To think that's the engine that made the Forza games, and now that's what's come out of it for Fable was just. But I think the humour in it, to start with Richard Ayoade's face, and I'm like, is that Richard Ayoade? What's going on here? Like, because obviously for us, we'd probably be far more familiar with him than like maybe like the Americans and stuff. Like, who is that? Like, it's got the British humour down to T. I think any kind of concerns people might have had of like Fable being remade in the hands of a different studio, they've gone. Like, I think that looks so, so promising now. Whereas that before, I was a bit like, I'm not sure this is going to work, and now I'm far, far more confident in it.
Yeah. Anyone else? Fable? Ben?
Yeah, I agree. It was a funny, funny trailer, and I think his Playground are British, aren't they, as well? So I think
it's
really helping with getting them to nail that tone. But yeah, it looks cheeky. Yeah. I'm in on Fable as well. Was that 2024 confirmed?
Didn't date it. So I think it'll be 25. You didn't even put a year on it.
That was the one fly in the ointment of the Xbox show for me. Was a lot of cool stuff, but still a lot of we've got to wait to see the cool stuff.
Yeah,
more stuff. And dates as well.
A shame. Yeah.
I mean, more stuff at first had years, which is probably the right move. But I agree.
So I'm going to be different on Fable and not just doing this be a contrarian, like, or. And I don't think it felt like a Fable game. I don't think it's going to feel like a Fable game. I think when EA bought Bullfrog and Peter Molyneux was exited from that group, I don't think there was an EA game with any of those IPs that ever felt like the theme park of his era, or Dungeon Keeper, or Black and White, or... Yeah, so I'm worried that the same thing will happen with Fable. Like, obviously, it's not... Was it Lionhead Studios or Lionheart? Lionhead. So the way that he found that studio, created that game, it was like 99% him, and a lot of the humour that was in within the original games. Like, it was fantastic to start with Richard at the point, and then for him to kind of go through almost develop the plot by being the giant, and then that being like a chase scene, and it being like you're the protagonist, run away from it. It all of it was fine, but it was just a tone piece. There was nothing substantial within it to go, well, why is this a Fable game? It could have been anything. It could have been just a generic kind of fantasy game. So yeah, I'm on the fence still, and I worry that if you've got something that's created by someone that's intrinsic to how they were at that point in their lives, and they found the studio to make that game, I can't see how they're gonna replicate that, and I worry a little bit. That's me panicking.
Sorry. When was the reveal trailer? Because I remember the little fairy kind of zipping around the forest.
2 years ago, I think.
Eaten by a frog. I thought it was longer ago. Okay, fine.
It might have been longer, but I think it was 2 years ago. I think it was 2021. It might have been... Is it before the Series X came out? I think it was after, but it might have been 2020, so it might have been 3 years ago, but I'm not sure.
I mean, if we get gameplay later this year... It could be a 24 game, but
I think it'll be 25. I think if it was 24, they would have said 24 like the others.
Yeah.
I wish they would just keep these things quiet. Like, give us like 6 months.
Because every bell end on the internet, where's Fable? Where is it?
That is the thing now. You can't win anymore. Like,
no, exactly.
You could have come down and said, right, this is everything coming in the next year again, and then things get delayed and you can't win. You show us the stuff for too long. I mean, look at Sony. So Sony gets slated because they didn't show enough, and they probably didn't want to show stuff that was coming in 25 or 20. And so it's... You just can't win. Like,
yeah.
No,
that's a bit of that.
Yeah, I agree. But cautiously optimistic. Let's put it down for that from my side. But it is nice that it had a decent tone piece, and... It's good that they've resurrected the franchise, so... Gameplay, please. Proper gameplay. That'd be quite cool. Lewis, second pick.
So, obviously, we're going to go for one of the bigger announcements from the Summer Games Fest, just after the Summer Games Fest, which is, of course, speaking of being big, Henry Halfhead. That's mine.
Good choice.
Yeah.
And you play as half a head, and you can jump around... making things very questionable.
That was funny. That was so funny.
Yeah.
It's like, can't do that. Oh no, come on.
Yeah, that's not what I would pick. Cocoon.
Oh, yes.
Cocoon. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Good choice. Yeah.
So, yeah. By the same... It's the same people that done, or at least one off the same team that did Limbo and Inside. And some other person, but it looks... It looks pretty cool. Looks good.
That was in Day of the Devs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What did you think of the perspective, though, Lewis? Because it looked... I know how you are with isometric perspective sometimes. And...
I mean, you're referring to Hades. My issue with Hades is more that it's a rogue, like... I don't know. Right. But then I kind of got on board with... what's it called?
Dead Cells.
Dead Cells, that's it. I mean, I'm all over the shop.
No, you.
I think it's just I like good games. and Hades isn't one. So
you like what you like, don't you, Lewis?
But no, it looks cool.
Yeah, it does.
There's something about the transition from one area to the other. Every time it did that, I think we all just went, ooh.
Yeah. We were probably swinging over it, weren't we? It was like, ooh,
yeah. Look at this. Do you think that we'll get either a shadow drop or a release date at the Annapurna thing at the end of the month?
Because I think it's still
Annapurna. Is that an Annapurna game?
It is an Annapurna game.
Hopefully. Check. And it is another day one on Game Pass. And I mean, that's the other highlight, I think, across today's show, Xbox show, tonight show particularly, and then some of these, what we're getting on Game Pass the second half of this year is going to keep us busy for a long time.
That's a good point. So Tuesday, 13th of June, we're recording. So Alex, what happened on the showcase? There was an extended view before of some of the games.
So at the extended showcase, we see more of Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty. So they did a playthrough of one of the sections of that, and they had a sit-down interview with Keanu, which I thought was good. So we had that.
People saying that game's been completely reinvented and completely reimagined. That sounds ridiculous. Yeah, very excited to play. That sounds as if it's very similar now to the anime as well. And Cyber Psychosis has been introduced into it, that sounds pretty fucking cool.
They did a bit of a deeper dive into Avowed and explained a bit more of it. So that sounded, I was more sold in that after I heard them talk about that. So it was good. Did the same with Towerborn. So Towerborn was the one that was like the co-op kind of cell shaded 3D to 2D action game. And they had the developers on talking about that. And I thought that looked really cool. There's also not early access, but you can join the Xbox Insider for that to maybe do more early access with that. I think that was opening today, which could. Phil sat down with the team at Thunder Lotus to play 33 Immortals. That looks good. I thought that was a really interesting game, that 33 player co-op type. Thought that looked.
Is that the spirit of
it? Yeah.
Mad.
There was High on Life DLC for High on Life. Showed more of Lies of P. They looked in depth in the Dune expansion for Flight Sim. So Paris Lily went to. Paris went to Budapest to meet the Flight Sim team to look into that, which is lovely. A bit more on Hellblade 2, but it was more about the mocap, and I'm like, you've showed us enough about the mocap in these developer diaries, show me more of the gameplay, show me the action, show me the combat. That's lacking in that game. That's what I need to see for that game, though. I've seen enough of the rest of it.
I thought that was the only game that I was just a bit like, okay, not really bothered about when I was watching it.
Yeah, I'm getting more and more cold on Hellblade 2 the more I see of it.
And you need to show the bits we don't know.
The first one wasn't that much fun.
Or not show anything.
Yeah.
And just say, right, okay, it's coming.
Shut up.
I think it'll be great when it comes out, but it's very much at that stage. They showed a bit of Exo Primal, a new mode than that, because that's come to Game Pass. There was a third-person looter shooter game, a free-to-play, is it the First Descendant? They were talking about that coming later in the year in another beta. I think that's been shown before. It actually looked pretty decent, but not macking a game. There was Mashup Mecha Ball was announced, Go Mecha Ball, which looked quite fun. So I think it's coming to... from an indie supergroup, Whale Peak Games and Super Rare Originals, apparently. That looked quite fun to the trailer. The Lamplighters League, which we'd shown before... I think that got announced at one of the shows earlier in the year or something, so that's now coming day one to Game Pass in October. Is it what date? They showed more like Year Frontier, which has moved out to 2024. That was the mech farming sim that was in the showcase last year. They announced Phasmophobia was coming to Xbox in 2023, so that's it coming to console. And then, they announced, so they said, and they had a little idea Xbox reel to announce 10 games coming to Game Pass on day one. Well, those 10 games were. And this was a bit like... So you had Little Kitty Big City, which I think is quite a big indie that people are looking forward to. You've got another Crab's Treasure, another one that people are really looking forward to. Galacticair, which I'm not really that sure about. The Wandering Village. The Bookwalker Thief of Tales, which looks really good. Harold Halibut, which looks really good. Neon White, which is coming day one when it hits Xbox, which you now know it's coming to Xbox. Miniqua's Night Market, which is one of the ones that was Nintendo Direct recently.
Yeah.
And the big one for me was Sea of Stars. So Sea of Stars is kind of probably your big indie release in the second half of this year. And that's announced coming day one to Game Pass.
You've got on your fancy draft, haven't you?
I do. And Starfield.
Mm, Lord.
And you've got Starfield.
I got Liza P. I know, I'm worried about Starfield. Yeah, I got Liza P. Did you guys notice that? On the
yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. Nice floppy seconds.
Yeah, well, after the reviews and some of the people talking about it, I got quite hyped and went, you know what? Cheeky bid in there. Spent 30
quid. Demo's been a bit lukewarm.
Has it? Shit. I don't know. I thought it'd be positive.
I still think that'll be high 70s, low 80s. I think it'd be
good. Yeah, I could take a low 80, I think, based on some of the other games I've got on there. But I'm a bit worried that Hades 2 didn't get shown.
That's not going to issue.
Well, it's definitely going
to... It'll come into early access, but early access doesn't count. Yeah.
Shut up, I know. You have to say that every fucking episode.
Who's next?
I mean, I'm the one that's got Redfall, so, I mean...
Yeah, well, that's fine. It's okay. One of us has won anyway, because he picked...
We'll never know. Starfield might come back and bite someone.
Ben's predicted to come first.
He is.
He's been speaking to my wife.
I'm going to go with my last one. Honourable mention to Persona 5 Tacta, because that just looks interesting.
Yeah.
Just Dance. Honourable mention, Life is Strange developer. That looked interesting as well. Actually, doing all the climbing. Yeah, the art style, that gripped me. It's very like cheer, that kind of look.
Yeah.
But my favourite thing about that one was at the end, the little splash screen at the end, where it said, climb, comma, fall 2023.
Oh.
And I just thought, some clever bastard in the marketing team has come up with that, and probably no one's noticed.
Yeah,
and I thought, I've got your back. I see what you've done there. Wordplay was good.
Quality. Other ones, Cyberpunk, Phantom Liberty, and Dungeons of Hinterberg. They're the ones that are on my list of the top games. But the one I'm going to focus on is Metaphor ReFantasio.
Yeah.
So Studio Zero are basically the dream team of Atlus that were put together maybe like 5-6 years ago. And then the creatives from Persona 5 were then added to that into that team as well. And this is their first game, and it looked fucking incredible. Like, the way it just burst onto the screen, I was like, it's definitely Persona 6. Even the way the menus are basically the same as Persona 5, all of the confidants it's got. It's everything a Persona game is. And then it flashed up, like, Metaphor at the end. It was like, oh shit, it's not a Persona game. They're trying to do something different, but... Yeah, that just, I mean, just, again, we've spoken about aesthetics. That just nailed everything about a JRPG that I want. None of this fucking, now we need to make an action RPG because that's what we think everybody wants to... No, we're just doubling down on it again after building one of the best JRPGs of all time. We're going to go and do turn-based. I'm going to blow people's socks off. And it was everything, even the music that was playing in the background, I was just like, digging it completely. So
it was very Persona 5-esque with it, specifically the music.
It could
be like DLC, or you're listening to the soundtrack for Persona 5. I was just listening, man, that's fast.
Yeah.
Almost exactly the same, not quite.
But it was that and then... Go on, Alex.
I was just going to say, but I mean, you had that, and you say you did Tactics, and you had the Persona 3 remake, like, all in the showcase, all come to... Well, no, they're not all coming to Game Pass Day 1. You just got Persona 5 on the 17th of November, the Tactics this year, and then Persona 3 in early 2024. But they didn't say...
Shame they leaked past those two, isn't it? Because that would have really fucking popped if they didn't. But even still. Yeah, I completely agree with everything you said about Metaphor. I think it's... Very, very exciting. So good to see a new IP and be excited about it.
Absolutely. So strange that was on the Xbox showcase as well.
They're really going all in.
Yeah, but like that's more than all in because they're not, they're like tiny, aren't they? Minuscule compared to Sony and Nintendo in Japan. But arguably one of the biggest Japanese franchises for that to be on Xbox is like the main, this is where it's getting announced. Like how that must have reflected in Japan, you know, people's approach to the Xbox. Hopefully it made them sell a couple of consoles, so
it's good.
Yeah. And they had all of the Yakuza stuff, didn't they, as well?
Yeah. Well, there was one, just when you mentioned Yakuza, there was one So there was one Yakuza and Xbox showcase. We seen the naming of the new Yakuza Like a Dragon, or the Like a Dragon 7, which is Infinite Wealth, and that was a hilarious trailer. Like, I just thought it was such a good intro, and just seeing like Kazagawa, like Ichiban back, and like And then even then on the Summer Game Fest, you got the trailer for Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who raised his name, and again that's the action series now of the franchise, and again that looked really fun with Kiyu.
Is it a different character?
Yeah, so basically...
Both were games, right, okay.
So you've got the... Basically, Ichiban took over from Kiyu in 6, and he was up to 5, but then they've spun him off into this, the man who raised his name. But I think in 7, this new one, they're both in it, I think, but I'm not...
All right, is it 8? I think it's 8, isn't it, the new one?
Mm, oh, yeah, sorry, 8. It is 8. Yeah, because it was... It's just because, like,
you know, they didn't using naming conventions in the fucking world.
Because none of them are called Yakuza anymore either. So it's just.
No, you've not played Kingdom Hearts. So.
1.8.
1.8 remastered remix. Yeah, so really excited by that. And I think one thing that I really find with these creatives from Persona 5, and obviously I think there's quite a few from the previous Persona games as well that are within this unit. But they just make you instantly gravitate to the characters within a trailer. And you think, like, how has that happened already? I feel quite attached to some of them because I think it's, they always have like the essence of what's happened in previous games locked within their characters as if they're writing for them again and again and again over and over and over. So, yeah, just very excited. God knows when we get that game. I didn't see a date.
2024.
Was it 24? Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Can I mention a couple of things before we move on, just because we've not mentioned it and I feel like we should, right? How they managed to make Flight Simulator look like a game, it looked like something I really wanted to play, I have no idea. But that looked so much fun, because they had search and rescue, aerial firefighting, helicopter transport, air ambulance, mountain rescue, skydiving aviation, air racing. Like, they just made that look so much fun.
And then it got better.
And then they added
June. When they dropped June. And I was
that's
like,
coming this year. And
well, is there going to be a sea worm? Yeah, sorry, sandworm. There's going to be a sandworm in the middle of that at some point. Because if it is and you're flying one of those helicopters, oh my God, that would be amazing.
Yeah. And the other thing was Sea of Thieves, Monkey Island. And you're like, where the fuck did that come from? Because basically...
Ron Gilbert wants to know the same thing. Apparently he didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's really...
not happy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man. So, it's a point and click first person adventure one player game within Sea of Thieves. It's not even like just they've made like a Monkey Island game as a one player experience within the game, which is just so when you read the like the press release for it, it's not just felt like, oh, they're doing like we themed and you can go to the island stuff. It's like, no, you can actually go and like play a 3D point and click game as a first person perspective in a one player modes, which just how that's going to work is bizarre, but it's going to bring so many more people again into Sea of Thieves the same way as Pirates of the Caribbean did.
I think the only one that published Ron Gilbert.
Then it's
more Ron.
You just thought so. Last one, we finally got a date for Forza. So I'm happy. 10th of October, we get Forza. Yay. That's good.
Amazing. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Wonderful.
Couple of honourables from me.
I
liked the look of Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. I think that opened
like it more after Ubisoft's
Sigmund. Yeah, I thought that looked really cool. Loved that art style. I think it's the same team that did Rayman Legends. Looks really slick. It's a Metroidvania. And I like Prince of Persia, like, not like the original Prince of Persia, but kind of Sands of Time kind of era.
The film.
I thought it looked good. It was nice to see a big developer throwing out a 2D game a la Metroid Dread. So I thought,
okay,
brilliant. I'm excited for that. And that comes out on the 18th of January, which is my birthday. So if anyone wants to get me that, perfect present. So that was one of them. And then the other one that I thought looked quite cool, probably going to be like a 7 out of 10, but I thought Avatar Frontiers of Pandora looked really good.
I'm quite keen on that because I love Avatar, because I love boring things.
You love Avatar? Avatar, quote and quote.
I love Avatar.
Jesus.
I'm going to watch the new one in my headset. Leave me alone. I don't really like, don't like that, actually.
Fish. I don't like fish.
I don't like fish.
I don't like fish.
But yeah, I thought that looked cool. I don't love Avatar a great deal, but that world
does look cool. And, you know, I went on one of the Avatar rides at Disney last year, and it was just
absolutely mind-blowing going on that. And it just makes you think, yeah, I can imagine.
With the Avatar ride last year.
And then a Navi.
It's got piggyback from a guy with a tall neck.
So yeah, I think it's got 7 out of 10 written all over it, but I think it could be a fun one.
A good 7, yeah.
A collector's edition of that was announced, wasn't it? Like 200 quid one.
Like 220. Sure.
Bloody hell,
fucking ridiculous.
You ordered it?
No, I haven't. I think, should we cover off our little bit of growth? You go.
Yeah, we both did growth, yeah. So, I mean, we straight after the showcase, basically, Dan and I were on alert for ordering the Starfield Constellation Edition with the watch and all that, and the little box and the massive TV thing. And we both ordered one, and then we woke up the next morning and we literally texted each other at the same time, like, I'm just going to cancel that and order the special edition to get a steelbook. Yeah. We both cancelled it. And I mean, that's
cool.
Yeah, that is. Well done, guys.
Well done. Thank you, guys. Cheers. Cheers, Ben. Thank you.
Great work.
It's a nice looking.
Great ground with the PSVR 2 and all the other peripherals. Green light VR, man. Oh, yeah, worth patronizing prick. Fucking hell.
Lewis clapped as well.
Yeah, but Lewis is thrifty.
I was just following your example, Ben, that was all.
If you jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge as well?
Just try and see if I'm trying to cushion his fall.
Any more honourable mentions, Ben, other than Avatar?
No, that's it from me.
That's it from you. Mm-hmm. Lewis, Volvi merch? No?
Yeah, I wanted to, but much like you saying that you'd bought something and woke up the next morning and decided against it, I was like, I'll wait until tomorrow, see how I feel. But I still do quite fancy the yellow T-shirt. Quite like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the yellow one.
Well, I'd saved all that money on the Constellation Edition, so, you know, it's rude not to. So.
Basically free.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
That Devolver presentation was hilarious, wasn't it? Yeah. Because we all fantastic. Together.
Really good.
It was
you were creased up.
Yeah, I mean, the presentation itself was fantastic, but I thought the actual showcase in terms of what they showed was really quite poor for Devolver.
Yeah, it was.
It's not like them.
Yeah,
true.
Was a bit light. Lewis, any honourable mentions? Anything else jump out at you?
Like I say, I've not really watched any of them other than the one that we've gone through. So I can't. No is the short answer.
Sonic.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Nah. I mean, it looked all right. That Sonic.
Yeah, like bought Sonic. Didn't
it? We've had enough Sonic. Cute Sonic. Sonic.
What about Final Fantasy, Dan?
Which one? 16? I've downloaded the demo.
No.
No.
Rebirth.
Wasn't it?
Rebirth. Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the remake. And I agree the fetch quest got a little bit silly. And it was monotonous. And even with the fast travel of like the Chocobo stands, it was still a little bit... I'd be a hypocrite in saying 16 doesn't feel like a Final Fantasy game if I didn't say the same about Rebirth, because everyone's going, oh look, you know, the love that they've crafted into the open world part, I just can't see it being an open world even on two discs, which is another fucking balmy thing as well, like to put that on the bottom of the actual image,
yeah,
as if they're fucking martyring themselves, why didn't you discs now? It's like, why would that? All that is basically giving the install part of the game on a disc.
Yeah.
It's an install disc. That's all it is. We had that with like the.
No, I'd love if they went back to the major league. Please insert this too.
If it does that
halfway through the game,
that would be amazing. I'd be like, that is the worst thing. That is the worst thing you could have copied about the game. It's made it two, made it two discs. One when the original was four. And then two, because you're leaving yourself in a position where it's like, or was it three? I can't remember. It might be three or four. But you leave them in your self-position and they're just going, well, if you've carried over that sentiment, why are you doing something completely different in the game? Why make it, again, another action RPG where there's very little engagement in the fucking thing itself? You're just sat there button pressing. Now, I get a JRPG and turn-based is not the most engaging of things to people, but fucking just someone please make one of these Final Fantasy games again with turn-based, just for me. Just for me and the millions of people that have got positive memories of the originals. So, anyway, ran over. But yeah, it looks all right.
Making a proper Fable game while you're at it as well, people. Because you're not happy with that Fable.
It just doesn't... I didn't get the tone that you guys got. That you were like, oh, it feels like Fable. The humour was great. It's like the humour was in the funny, but it wasn't... Didn't feel like a Fable game. Like there was no one like burping and farting. It was just like an action kind of fantasy game. Sorry. We'll see. I mean, you know what I'm like? I'm happy to be proven wrong. I haven't died on the hill with Starfield, have I? I haven't said that shit. I've completely turned red face now that I've got that as my counter pick, so that'll be interesting. So, should we quickly talk about what we've picked up and played?
I have picked up stuff. Potentially off the back of the Devolver Direct, I bought Carrion, a game I've already played on the Xbox. I finally picked it up on Switch. Started playing it the other day, just very briefly. I really like that game. It's the first game I completed on Game Pass when I first got it. It's just such a nifty little shift. You play the monster and go around just ravaging
bloody people. Yeah, okay, I remember that one.
Just go around absolutely ripping folk to pieces. It's really good fun. Also picked up Sword and Sorcery, which is a Cappy Games, forget the guy's name, does the soundtrack.
Dave, Bob, Greg,
Dave,
Jimmy Guthrie.
Yeah, I played Sword and Sorcery on the iPhone way back when. Goodness knows how many years ago. But it was £1.19, so I picked that up. And also, of a recommendation from Ben last year, I picked up Inscription.
Oh. Really impactful recommendation there, that it took you a full year to get me into it.
Yeah. Yep. I finally dropped from that £17.99 to £16.50. I was like, I'm going to bite. I think it was like £12 or something like that. Well, I'm bloody. I think it was like £12 or something. So yeah, not played it yet, but I'm looking forward to it and have looked forward to playing it for a little while.
I think you'll like the tone of it. If you can, yeah, stomach the card building. Yeah. It's good.
It's interesting.
Well done, Lewis.
Thanks. Good pickups. Love it. Alex, have you spent any money?
I picked up Diablo 4.
Ah, cool. What console? Oh, it's arrived.
Right.
Open it up. Come on, let's have a look at it.
I haven't opened it yet.
All right, fucking don't open it up.
I'll open it.
Podcast directing.
I have my Starfield controller that arrived just when I got home from work.
How many controllers do you have?
Eight.
How many hands?
One for each orifice.
It's hard to see. It's pretty light. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
That's cool. I like the transparent shoulder buttons.
Yeah, it's got the nice rubber grips. Just the detail of the detail, gold D-pad, the nice little Starfield logo at the top. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So that rides
your go-to controller just now?
Still my Forza one.
The colour burst one.
Neon, yeah, that is a lovely one. I regret not picking that up.
Yeah. That is so beauty.
I hope
you should buy more controllers.
I really am.
Yeah, but some of them are just too gorgeous to say no to. That Starfield one is.
Yeah, it's some 70 quid though. Oof.
I really hope they make such a pot. Like, for the Forza one and the 20th anniversary one, I've got like the Razor docks for them.
So yeah, I was going to say, because the Starfield one would look decent in just a plain white Razor dock, but do you think they'll do a bespoke
Starfield one? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my hope. But that's all I've bought at the minute. I almost bought a Rogue Ally. I hummed and hawed and hummed and hawed and hummed and hawed, and I nearly bought one like 3 times, but I didn't.
Fucking nuts.
I didn't.
He's definitely got one then. That's we all know that is the pathway to, he's going to get one at some point. In his weakest moment when he's scrolling on the toilet.
No, because the 10% off and all that's finished now. So if I was going to do it, I was going to do it. Getting the 10% off. So there's no way I'm doing it.
I did have lunch today, so I'll pick myself up any safe look.
I had a packed lunch.
I didn't eat.
You were provided.
from his work, let's just clarify Not from like just a random place that he went to, like a soup kitchen. All right, so Alex, that's what you picked up. Anything else just to round off your pickups, or is that everything?
I ordered the premium edition of Starfield as well, but that doesn't count yet until September.
That was £30. That's like a bargain, that. That's really good. Was it £39.99? I can't remember.
£35.
Yeah, £30 then. We'll give that. Lewis, you're either celebrating or you want attention.
Mm-hmm. What's included in this?
So you get five-day early access, you get a steelbook if you buy the physical, and the first DLC, and some other in-game stuff.
It's a good-looking steelbook. It's the first game I think I've seen where everything that is additional looks good. The aesthetic for everything seems great. Like, it's really nailed.
And if you don't want the steelbook, you can buy it from Xbox Iceland for £17. Which I'm tempted to buy.
Yeah. It's like the Xbox in Iceland.
It's a stand they've got in all Iceland stores.
Yeah.
You just need to rummage around the bottom of the freezer.
Yeah. Two Chicago Town pizzas and a copy of Starfield Prison. cool. Ben, any pickups?
Similar to Alex, really. Diablo 4, got that digitally on the Xbox. Digitally, mainly to be able to play it across the X and the S and on phone, just because it's one of those games where you just want to dip in and play a little bit. So I thought, rather than PS5, get it on something where I can play it anywhere. I ordered the Starfield controller that Alex just showed off as well. So I think mine should be arriving tomorrow. Because I thought that looked fucking lovely, and I didn't want to regret not getting something again. So sod it.
So let's talk about Diablo. I picked that up as well. I'm going to buy that controller now that I know two of you have got it, which is the...
You are a pathetic little man.
Hadn't you been PSVR2 though, have I?
I'm being able to buy that, yeah. But I bought Diablo 4. I got the digital version as well for that same logic, because I was like, if I buy that, then I'll be able to play it on the move. And it is the type of game where you can just brainlessly hold the button.
Yes.
It's not really about that. So how far are you guys at the moment in the game? You played co-op, didn't you?
Yeah, about 2 hours. So it was what, level 14-ish, I think. Got to. So that was good.
I love 89. Level 21 now.
So you're cheesing it though, aren't you? So
I don't know if any path is any cheesier than, like, they're all, you all just hold down a button and kill loads of stuff, don't you? It's not really.
I do like the power option guns and the skill tree's cool.
No. Yeah.
Very, very cool.
I haven't done any actual main missions yet. I've only done like side missions and stuff. No main.
Just got to as far as I got in the beta. So I have beaten that same mission, but I'm already way more leveled up than I was when I did that, because I've kind of been going around doing little dungeons. Alex and I did 2 or 3 dungeons yesterday. That was really fun. It's just a really good switch off your brain, watch the numbers go up kind of game. And it is lovely. And that's how I kind of justified it, because I knew it was one of these addictive, brainless games. But do you remember when I was playing Advance Wars? I said I was playing it whilst on the exercise bike, because it's not really something with twitch reflexes. You don't really have to like squint to look at anything. I justified it like, well, if I can get myself addicted to Diablo but only play it when I'm exercising, then that's a healthy thing to do, right? So that's how I tricked myself into buying it, and as yet I haven't played it whilst exercising. But that's the plan.
That is the plan.
Good man. I love the like the FMVs in this game are fantastic. Like the way it kind of starts and just like the horror kind of elements to it.
Yeah.
And it always makes me laugh with Diablo games. It's like builds it up. Oh, Lilith is just like the mother of Sanctuary. She's developed it, created it. Then you've got these poor there's another a video later on where it's like basically her savaging a load of people in a church and making them do something to a priest, which is quite cool. And then it immediately like cuts to there's the one another video where you're like you're there with your horse, it goes off, you hear it get absolutely slaughtered in the woods, then you're looking at it and it's all ripped out and you're like, shit, what's this game? And then it instantly goes into Diablo mode, and then there's a warg, and then you're just hitting it with a hammer, and it's like it's just like really surreal. It goes from being this like really scary tone piece to being like but it is addictive. It was. I mean, I think I put 60 hours into Diablo 3 in the space of maybe like a week. So yeah, I'm quite excited to play this one.
Yeah, definitely. It's I like the look of it and the sound bit. I think it's noticeable. I was really impressed. I played Diablo 3 on Switch and I thought that looked really cool. But this, it does feel quite elevated, certainly in like design. And like the squelchiness, but even like seeing the, like you're walking through mud and it's just, you know, looks shiny and squidgy and it's just lovely. Such a lovely. And I was saying that Alex and I were saying this last night when we were playing it. It's like one of these cozy games. Like it's just like a comfort game, but with this really fucked up like look to it. It's just odd. It's very relaxing to play.
It's made me jump a couple of times as well, which I wasn't really expecting. And even just like some of the content, it can get to you a little bit in a good way. Like just the amount of blood that's in this game, ridiculous. So it's a very bloody game. Yeah. You're not tempted, Lewis? You're laughing at a video or something?
No, I'm watching gameplay because overly familiar with the Diablo games, but it's kind of what I've always expected it to be. It's not. I don't think it's a me game, to be honest.
No,
I think it's an anybody.
They don't have a contrarian class, though, do they?
Exactly.
No, they don't.
You two both went barbarian, didn't they? Alex
yes
and Dan.
My barbarian looks like Caelan choice. Harland.
What's my look like? Mine looks like a hench wrestler, which is quite funny. So,
yeah, I've just got a skinny necromancer.
Yeah, I've ever seen yours next to Alex's character on that screenshot before, and it was just like
swapped body types.
Yeah, Alex is like proper healthy, and yours is just this malnourished creature. Poor thing. Diablo 4, fun game.
Yeah.
Lewis, what are you playing at the moment? I know you mentioned a couple of things.
Yeah, just quickly touched on Carrion, but not enough to warrant discussing. Like I've played through it before, and I just fancy dipping in and out on the Switch occasionally, but I'm still playing Zelda, still playing away at it.
Yeah, played on the train before.
Yeah,
how many hours are you now?
60.
I think I'm like 30 or 40 on my. So,
but I'd been speaking to one of my friends who was playing it, and he goes, "Oh, I've done this, done that, done this." And I was like, "He's played at the same amount of time as me. What am I? What have I been doing?" And ends up, I was just sort of just continuing to wander and not really do anything. I was like, "Right, okay. I'm going to actually try and tick off some things to do." So, like last time I spoke, I'd done all the tiers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now I've done 3 of the 4 regions.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
I have the Master Sword.
Ooh. Wow, wait.
So, that's where I am. Enjoying it. Really enjoying it.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying it. All of the great fairies?
No. I've done one.
Yeah.
Define.
I did all of them, and that takes a long time to do.
Yeah?
But worth it.
Are you going to play again?
I will eventually. Like, I've got nothing against it. I just don't feel like playing it at the moment. I've spent several weeks, and I'm at peace with that.
I'm in moments with it. I get that. I think there's been a couple of parts where I've like maybe got to an uninteresting part, or I've not had a like a food item to stop me from getting shocked, where I'd be like, I'll come back to that in a bit, switch something else on. But I'm actually quite grateful because it's kickstarted that urgency to play games again for me. So I am playing and dabbling in more things, and we're going away tomorrow to Wales. I'm quite excited to take the Steam Deck with me. So I'll play a couple of things on that over the next couple of days as well. So thank you, Zelda.
Yeah.
A reawakening spirit.
What it's made me think is how different the landscape is in comparison to when Breath of the Wild came out. And everyone was like, that's all we're playing, is this. Now, there's just so much more.
It's good though, isn't it?
It's like a smorgasbord, wouldn't it say?
It is.
Delirisable.
Smorgasbord.
I think this is the upside or downside of us going into a cross-platform from just being Switch Island. If we were just dedicated Switch content creators, I think we'd all still be playing Zelda. I think it's the fact that we've got so much other distraction. And this is a particularly strong year across the board. There's just too much to play. And the second something loses your attention, just a tiny little bit, it's gone on to the next thing because there's just so much good stuff out at the moment.
So that's one of the reasons why I decided to go for the main points, because I was like, right, there is a lot more to play now. It's not the same. I'm not the same person as I was 6 years ago. I was like, right, I need to do the main missions here to get through the sort of story items to try and get me to go and do more exploring and see random locations on the map just by way of needing to go somewhere to complete not a shrine, but like Zora's Domain or something like that. You know, go there. So I was like, I'm going to deliberately do this, because I was like 45 hours and I'd done one.
Just fanning about.
And I was just fanning about. I was like, I need to get Martian gear.
Good on you.
Speaking about getting our asses in gear then, any other honourable mentions in terms of what we've been playing at the moment? Is that everything?
Street Fighter 6.
We'll talk to you about
that. I have to mention that. This is the reason I wasn't going to get Diablo 4, because I didn't want it to distract me from the absolute joy of a time I'm having with Street Fighter 6. It is just, like, a lot has been made of games, like AAA games coming out lately, and they've not been finished, not running well. You look at Diablo 4, Tears of the Kingdom, and Street Fighter 6. They all just nailed it day one.
Yeah.
But it's such a good game, and I was determined to get properly into it like I've never got into a fighting game before. Learn a character, get all their moves down, and then go online and start trying to kind of rank
up. Buy
the t-shirt. And I was doing that, and I'm doing reasonably well in ranked. So I haven't really played that single player mode at all. Or any of the other modes. I just wanted to get online and just, so I spent some time first couple of days learning moves for Cammy. I just chose Cammy because she's British and just watching.
Any other reason?
I didn't want to pick normally, like I'd pick Ken because it rhymes with Ben, but I thought I'd change it this time and just play a character I've never really used before. And yeah, it's really enjoying it. I think the online matchmaking and everything is really robust. I haven't had any problems whatsoever. So it does this clever thing when you're almost at the next rank. I think it will pit you off against someone that is also about to jump up to the next rank, and it's almost like a playoff final then, where you're like, whoever wins will rank up out of those two. So it's really clever the way it does that, so it adds that extra little bit of tension.
That's good.
It's cracking. And Dan, it's got like, I think you would like it, because it's got that sort of that like live service loop to it, where you're just beating people, or you'll take a beating and then you'll get back in, and then you can rematch someone and, you know, learn their moves. And
Ben's picking on the person in the group that he probably knows he can beat in this game easiest.
I just think, I know you like, you know, that look.
Oh, no, I love
Marvel Snap and just beating real people. And you can really, really beat real people in this game. It's really good.
I'm definitely picking it up, 100% picking it up. I think it's just one of those games where a few of us probably need to as well. It's yourself, where we go. Alex, you've got it. As well. Yeah. Lewis, you tempted?
I will have it, surely. Alex?
Oh, no.
Thank you.
What console?
PlayStation 5.
Thank you.
PlayStation.
Right,
there we go.
Okay, there we go. I'll pick it up.
Well, this is coming, Alex.
Sold.
Yeah, that's fine.
Very cryptic.
Yeah, that'd be great if we could, you know, switch between Diablo when we want to chill and then Street Fighter when we want to have a little scrap.
Brilliant. Little kiss, little cuddle. Bob's your uncle. There's a Saturday. It's always eating, isn't it? Okay, any other honourable mentions?
I play about Pentiment, which I did mention on. So I've been playing that in bed, remote play on the Steam Deck, which has been nice. I'm really enjoying it. I wanted to play it when it came out, what, November? And I just never, ever got around to it and finally started playing it. And I think it's really, really well done. I'm really liking it. It's a nice little bedtime game.
You finished it?
No, I'd never started it. So I only started it, like, week.
Lewis is so suspicious.
Well, really?
Well,
like that's nice.
Sure, press X it out. Pretty sure you played, Alex.
You definitely haven't.
Pretty sure March 23rd, you said to me, I remember quite vividly, because you just put the bins out. It was green bin. And you said to me, I just finished Pentiment, Lewis.
Liar. He's such a liar.
He's a liar. Got a little quiz for you. Can we do it? I'd probably take 10, 15 minutes. Boiling.
Yep. Slowly melting away.
Oh, for God's sake. Having to wipe my forehead.
That's just a pair. It happens with you in the winter, though, doesn't it? It's just
it's just a sweater.
It's always the way. Okay, so it is June. All right, fucking ruin my flow. It is June, and traditionally would be E3 season. So I've got a couple of questions around E3 for each of you. So I'm going to go with 5 questions. Okay. Lewis, I'm going to pick on you first.
Oh no, that's the way I had my finger in there.
Happy with that?
Yep, that's fine by me.
Are you there?
Yep, I'm there. Are you not?
Why can't I hear you?
I have no idea. Can everyone else hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can hear you.
That's a very optimal time for my...
It's going to be a rough quiz.
It's very stressful. Hold on, I'm just hearing AirPods Pro. There we go, I'm back on. Lewis, are you ready?
Okay. Yes, I'm ready.
First question. In what...
I'm just...
These are GPTs, so all I'm saying is it could be fun. In what year was The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 announced at E3?
Oh, 2019.
Correct. E3 2021, which highly anticipated game was announced with a release date of November 11th, 2022?
Oh, no idea.
Anyone else?
God of War.
Starfield.
No.
Was it not Starfield? No, I thought it was Starfield.
Final, anyone else? Final? It was Elden Ring.
Oh.
In which year was the game's...
That's wrong.
Elden Ring was announced at Game Awards, is it not?
Prove the AI wrong. In which year was the... In which...
That's weird.
That's wrong.
The rest of it could be...
Look
it. Oh, for God's sake. In which year was the game Cyberpunk 2077 first showcased at E3?
Oh, 2018.
Oh, good guess. That's right. Let's have a look at this. I'm just scrolling down the ones that are obviously incorrect. in which year did Square Enix announce the remake of Final Fantasy VII at E3? Ooh.
Oh, 2012.
2015?
Yeah.
I think last one. So... At E3 2022, which game was announced from Bethesda Software and Arkane Studios?
So what was this? What year was that, sorry?
2022.
Bethesda and Arkane. Fucking shite your face, was it?
Arkane shite your face,
yeah. Yeah, I rang it.
It was dreadful. 4 out of 5, but it could be 5 out of 5 if Alex spots prove me wrong.
Well, it's definitely wrong. I'm not even doing it. It's definitely
wrong. Oh, right. Okay, first. Alex's questions off on GPT quiz. 4 out of 5 for Pete. In which year was The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim announced at E3?
Well, it came out in 2011, so I'd Well, but they used to announce things quite close, so could it have been 2011 and it came out in November 2011? Hmm. 2010?
Good guess. Got it right. Well done, mate.
Wow. Sound weird.
E3 2006, which highly acclaimed action-adventure game developed by Rockstar Games was showcased.
Grand Theft Auto 4?
Good guess again.
4? Is it 4?
Yep. 4. Ivy. In which year did Microsoft announce the original Halo game at E3?
2000.
Oh, do we give him that? Yeah, give him it. Give me.
Not that Alex would give it to anybody else.
I mean, like, that's the first answer first, isn't it? Okay. E3 2004, which highly influential game from Valve was announced?
Portal? No, Half-Life? Portal? I don't know. I'll just go with Portal.
Half-Life 2. I think that was it. That's 3 out of 5. Yeah.
Is that right? Is that all the 4 questions in?
PPT's not counting 4.
I only got one wrong.
Okay, one more fucking question. E3 2001, which game from Nintendo was unveiled?
Fuck knows.
Come on, big pants. Like,
I've only got one though.
Fucking answer this one.
Halo game.
It's not Nintendo, is it?
Super Mario Sunshine?
No. Anyone else?
What was the question again?
E3 2001, which game from Nintendo was unveiled?
Luigi's Mansion?
No. I can give you a clue. Featuring a boy who embarks on a quest to rescue his sister from an evil sorcerer.
Wind Waker.
Yes. 3 out of 5, Alex. 3 out of 5, mate.
Fear.
Okay, called it. He called it.
Called it.
3 out of 6. Ben? In which year was the game Super Mario Odyssey announced at E3?
2000... Wouldn't have been 16? 17?
Yeah, good guess. At E3 2007... Oh, that's quite harsh, actually. I don't think you'll get that.
So I get 2001 and it's too hard if you get 2007?
All right, you get this one at E3 2007.
I came in 2017, Alex. I don't know any of this shit.
Which game from Harmonix and MTV Games was announced, revolutionising the rhythm game genre with its guitar-shaped controller?
Guitar Hero
3, Legends of Rock. You were never going to get that. At E3 2016, which game developed by Respawn was announced?
Apex Legends.
E3 2016.
Oh, Jedi Fallen Order.
Titanfall 2.
Your game, Ben. Titanfall 2.
2016?
2016, yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
E3 2010, which highly acclaimed puzzle platformer developed by Playdead was announced.
Sorry, say that again?
E3 2010, which highly acclaimed puzzle platformer developed by Playdead was announced.
Limbo.
Yes. Okay. E3 2009, which game from Rocksteady Studios was announced?
Batman Arkham...
Asylum. Yes, great guess, Ben.
That's the Cammy Street Fighter again.
Okay, and last one from GPT. E3 2012, which game developed by Gearbox Software was announced, blending first-person shooting with role-playing elements?
Borderlands? 2?
Yeah, well done, Ben. 4 out of 5. Alex loses. Clicks.
I wasn't even the one that told you the question.
Lewis.
Ben.
You were born in 1988, right?
No, 87.
87?
Easy question.
GPT got that wrong.
GPT got that wrong. What year was Dan Ward born? 87.
Dan Ward is a fat cunt from Liverpool.
Whoa. Hey Dan, I've got five questions for you based on information from the year of your birth, 1987.
Ooh. Right, Madonna.
Let me just make sure I've got the answers here.
Ross.
It's the man of GPT.
Answers.
All right, question one. Correct. In 1987, which game released for the NES featured a young elf named Link on a quest to rescue Princess Zelda and defeat evil Ganon? 88 questions were far more difficult.
The Legend of Zelda.
That is correct. Question number two. What iconic video game released by Namco in 87 had players controlling a yellow circular character that ate dots and fruit while avoiding ghosts?
In 87?
Yep.
It's over there.
By the way.
Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. Correct. Pac-Man. True or false? Final Fantasy was first released in 87, introducing players to a popular and long-running RPG franchise.
True.
It is false.
It's not popular.
Anymore.
It's not Final Fantasy anymore.
You're there. Let's just leave it. True or false? Was first released in 87, introducing players to a long-running RPG franchise. Answers. False. Final Fantasy was first released in 1987. Introducing players to a popular long-running franchise.
GPT is
on one.
I guess we're drinking today.
It's not perfect.
Struggling in the heat.
Which side-scrolling beat-em-up game released by Capcom in 87 featured characters Cody, Guy, and Hagar as they fought against the Mad Gear gang in Metro City?
Double Dragon?
Final Fight.
What? Final Fight. Yeah.
Final Fight. Last one. What puzzle game created by Alexei Pajitnov?
Tetris.
Yes, it is Tetris. A simple yet addictive gameplay of manipulating falling blocks.
Can't help himself, can he? These are questions for Dan the minute he gets Tetris.
Tetris.
Michelin.
Love that film.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thanks for the
care and attention to write those prompts in for me.
That's quite all right. It took me a few different attempts because the first time I just asked for five generic gaming questions, and question number one was, what is your favourite video game and why?
You're wrong. That was enjoyable, apart from the blistering heat that we've been suffering through. I'm very sway.
Yep.
Are you all okay?
I think so.
You okay? Yeah, sure.
Stood in my boxer shorts for the last hour and a half. Yep.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
He fucking is looking
at us. Oh, get on over to YouTube, audio listeners.
Oh, wow.
That is a sight for sore eyes.
Hey, that is funny. Lewis was packing heat there.
It's a sock.
It was the new Starfield controller that I pre-ordered in the day. That was a wish of us.
Henry laughing at that, actually.
Oh, that's very funny. That's very funny. Thank you as ever to listening, everyone, for listening to our inane ramblings this week. The YouTube video is for being subject to probably a sexual harassment claim at some point in the future. Look out for that advert online. If you're a regular listener and fancy getting a bit more involved with our fellow players, our social links are really simple, easy to remember. Just search the Cross Players. We invest a lot of time into our YouTube, so youtube.com/thecrossplayers. To like and subscribe, that'll help us out a lot. Ben, the latest cross button VR episode, what do you guys cover off in that?
We cover a good few things. We're actually lucky enough to get a hands-on preview with a big PSVR2 exclusive called Synapse, which is coming out. What's the release date of that, Alex?
4th of July.
4th of July.
Synapse or Synapse?
I have always said Synapse, but these Alex and Laurie say Synapse, so I'm just, you know.
Definitely Synapse.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what else? the last Clockwinder.
Yes.
Go in depth on that, which is a lovely little VR game. One of my favourite VR experiences so far. So if you're interested in that, go and have a listen. They're also running a competition to win £10 PSN credit. We've got a couple more episodes where we're doing that. So leave a comment on the latest YouTube video for episode 16. You could win yourself £10 PSN credit.
Beautiful. And it's in a separate feed as well. So if you are listening to this podcast on your normal feed, what do they have to search for? It's very easy.
Cross button VR.
Thank you, Alex. Cheers.
Cross button VR.
Left me hanging. It's fine. Similar to Lewis just before. So shout out to our patrons. We've got Ethan Bunk, Steve Sticky Simpson, Nate Ellingsworth, Carl Hughes, gosh right, Sean Hughes, Harry Nuts. Is that real? Oh God. Jason Frost, oh, Sarah Perbrick, Rebecca Rudrenar, Luke Cooper, Kevin Scully, Mark Hammond, Runestorm, Phil Marshall. Is that you? Lenina's.
That's real. Yep.
Sorry, Phil. I was only taking a piss. Sorry to Harry as well.
Eamon.
And Eamon.
Eamon. Yeah.
Eamon's back, isn't he?
Yeah.
Eamon's back.
He's back. Big
boy. Welcome back. Yeah.
Welcome back, mate. Clicks.
Eamon. Back into the fold.
Back into the fold.
Into the buzz.
Full time. And Alex, the X Players released this week. I incorrectly thought it was about the showcase, but what have you spoken about?
We did a preview of Rattle Case last week. We haven't done a post showcase.
I'll expect that in 2 months soon.
We are going to try and record it this week, so hopefully.
Good. Oh, that's very wholesome. Isn't this lovely? All the content, all the different consoles. Used to be the Switch Island, now it is just everything thrown into one. Don't really know how to end the podcast other than say